from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
With Ken Laird and Chris Curtis on WEEI.
Ken Laird, Chris Curtis, back together again at the lovely, and I mean lovely, Fenway Park on Lansdowne Street, our Fenway Ford Clubhouse Studios. Good morning to you, Curtis, and we've got much to discuss here in the next 3 hours.
What do they charge for a tour of Fenway? Do you know off the top of your head?
I would guess $50.
They
pack him in.
This morning, I'm walking down Brookline Ave to Jersey Street, and there must have been 400 people, and I don't think exaggerating at all.
Well, I'm here often during the week when we have our shows down here, and it's in like several flights. It's like, you're right, a flight of 50, a flight of 100. They just get them through, and it is clinical. It is an operation.
I would say a good tour,
I might add.
There was an old stat that I don't know if it's still accurate, but it used to be that more people went through Faneuil Hall than Disney World, which stands to reason. Disney World costs money. Faneuil Hall doesn't.
Yep.
I don't even know what's in Faneuil Hall. Can't tell you the last time I was there, but
that Sugar Rush store my daughter loves in Faneuil Hall.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. We go down there. She loads up. Loads up for the week. $25. I'm on the website right now.
So, but I mean, $25. So if you bring your family of four,
kids 12 and under, 17.
Ooh, not bad. Best deal around. But either way, the amount of tourism that is based here has officially superseded the actual, you know, the ballpark. Everything is about, and that's most places. You know, it's not just the Red Sox. I mean, everything's for Instagram and visiting. But I just am constantly shocked. And I will say, every time I walk through here on our quiet Saturday mornings, it brings me back to when I worked here in high school, and nothing is cooler still walking into the empty stadium, looking out there. I mean, it is so pretty. It is such a nice park. I mean, it's a crap, I almost swore. It's a crappy place to sit, but a neat spot, but it is amazing the revenue they bring in here from everything outside of the team.
It is, and no matter what you say, and despite last night's 9-run inning bludgeoning by the Padres, who have a healthy contingent of fans here, right off the bat, Curtis, our topic today, the state of the Red Sox. Midpoint,
Hey, Braverman, do we have just like a quick like bat hitting a ball sound effect?
We still have to work on this.
Okay.
It's been months in the making.
Well,
but I want to trot it out when it's perfectly ready.
Let's not do anything until it's ready for air.
It's amazing. How long have you and I been doing the Saturday show?
I don't know. A couple years.
At least three or four. I think 3 or 4 years. We've put zero production effort into the show.
Absolutely none.
Zero post-production, zero pre-production.
Well, it's sort of like our chance to, in front of New England, to reconnect and talk every week.
That's the only thing that saved our podcast. We used to have the Real KNC podcast, and it only survived based on hours of cuts that were inserted in the middle of the show.
Right, which you did 95% of.
I would say 98%, but that's fine. No, that was the only thing I brought to the table. So right. We would go through and edit it, and it would come out into a 10-minute chunk, and it was a very palatable and enjoyable experience.
You and I were texting back and forth because Shime sent to the group message, I'll grab some cuts from the debate, and I sent you an immediate text.
No, he didn't send that. He said, I texted the overnight guy to grab some cuts. Like it was an epiphany he had.
Right. And right as the most anticipated political debate of our lifetime was about to begin. Either way.
I think Shime's done a great job.
He does. But I sent you a text immediately. Give Shime a raise. And that night, the first debate of Trump and Clinton.
Oh, boy.
We were in this at 20 Guest Street, each in our separate, production studio, rolling on it, cutting it live. Watching history is just unbelievable. But I was thinking back to those days when we would get there around 4:30 and you would leave around 2. I'd leave around, depending on the podcast, between 11 and noon. And it was just every single day. But those podcasts were great. And this show, I think, is very well received by the masses.
We stretched it out from 10 minutes to 3 hours with no production. Lots of production, 10 minutes, now 3 hours, no production.
Right. So we just sound bad for a longer period.
Right.
But we fill time, which is all America needs.
But back to, and we have gotten soft. And maybe the fan base has gotten soft here a little bit, but the Red Sox are on the field, 43-38 at the midpoint, much better than I thought they would be, Curtis. So just a first half evaluation.
86 wins.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, although we've been here before, the last 2 years, we've seen this story before. Granted, Heim Bloom is not here. And there's a new sheriff in town. But in 2022, in late June, they were 42-31. They finished with 78 wins. Last year, in late July, they were like 10 games over. And they finished with 78 wins. So is there anything different about this team?
So the biggest difference in a very brief snapshot of Breslow versus Bloom is the sale trade. I think that was one that widely was viewed as a deal Bloom wouldn't have made. Maybe in hindsight, Chris Sale, you could say, is... I mean, John Heyman did a midseason story at the New York Post. He said he was third. I mean, some people said that preseason. Chris Sale, Cy Young in the NL. But that today doesn't look like a great trade. Breslow, was oddly defiant when I asked him about it a couple months ago. But the ability to make a deal... I would say on the basketball level, there's a difference between Brad and Danny. Danny hoarded picks. Brad has been much more willing to make deals that have turned into, a championship. So in a optimistic lens, you could say Breslow has been more willing to do a trade that maybe Heim Bloom demanded more equal value for players that he knew he didn't have leverage over.
I wonder with that trade, the same as the Cora stuff, which I'm sure we'll get to, and you guys talked to Breslow about Cora, if that was a mandate from ownership upon taking the job. Part of taking the job is you're going to trade Chris Sale. We're moving that contract. Although they ate a lot of the contract, but it was also done, Vaughn Grissom was supposed to be a player that was going to be here for a while for the future. He still could be a factor. But anyway, I feel like Breslow came in and he had a couple things that he had to do. And one we saw on display Thursday with the front office report was don't say anything about Cora's contract and we're moving on.
Right.
It's been decided.
But don't you think it's weak management when you hire someone to do your bidding? Like, the Red Sox and, in a way, the Patriots and other organizations, but nobody's going to sit back on October 3rd and say, wow, I can't believe Craig Breslow couldn't agree to a new deal with Alex Cora. I am shocked he's leaving, and I blame Craig Breslow. Who in our listening audience, what percentage of Red Sox fans will blame Breslow for the departure of Alex Cora.
I think you'll get 20% Huckleberries.
Okay.
I mean, there are
More confidence in our listening audience than you do.
I also don't know how Cora's going to react to it. I feel like Cora's teetering. The deadline is going to be very interesting to see how he...
Did you see what Heyman wrote about Cora yesterday?
What did he write?
Not a single person in baseball believes Alex Cora will be back.
Well, no, I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying he could turn tables on ownership and start to make it ugly if he so chooses.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant teetering about his future.
He's teetering about how his behavior will be. So if things go poorly at the deadline, which we think they will, they're not going to add major. They might add minor.
But are they going to sell? Because they have to do one or the other.
They've said they don't want to middle it like they have in your past.
Sam has said that, but he's also called me a liar.
But they're going to trade Kenley Jansen. I mean, that's going to happen.
If Pivetta keeps pooping it up, I guess it doesn't matter.
Right.
But if he pitches well.
They should trade Pivetta.
Of course. You're either in or you're out.
You think they're in? I mean, technically they are in. Oh, they're a game and a half out right now.
You're a liar.
Yeah. Thank you, Sam. Good morning. Let's play this out. For just sort of being accurate, let's say they remain exactly six games or five games over 500.
Okay.
That's their record right now. They're 43-38. Right. 81 games. They got 81 to go.
Huge series with the Royals here next week.
Right. They're even in the loss column with the Kansas City Royals.
Wild card on the line.
Right. But they're a game and a half out, but tied in the loss column. So let's say they are in a similar spot.
In 2 weeks. Sorry. Go ahead.
They're five games over 500, and they are in a dead, a lockstep tie with the Kansas City Royals for the third and final wild card.
Yep.
I believe in that spot. They will not trade Kenley Jansen. They will not move Nick Pivetta. And they will do a perfunctory deal for someone where they're trading a low-level prospect for an okay middling guy. Which
for
is
a
kind
starter?
That's sort of what Wiggy was alluding to this week. But yeah, something like that. But either way, that is not going to satiate Alex Cora or the fan base. And what is so irritating is go back to Full Throttle, right? Where Tom Warner says we're going full throttle this offseason. Why do you seek to mislead? Because we saw that on the biggest stage in the world on Thursday night, where in politics, people were telling us not to believe our lying eyes, and then they all showed us. It's such a waste of time. If you believe you're doing the right thing, if you believe that this is indeed the right path, Xander Bogaerts is a great example. He's back in town. He's injured. He got a massive deal that was way above what the Red Sox would have offered, and they were right. They only screwed up the part about their communicating with the fans.
See, but I don't believe that Warner misled on purpose. I think he really is not smart enough to realize that Yamamoto was going to go for $300 million. They thought their offer was going to get it done. That's why he said that. They were in on Yamamoto.
That's a worse answer. So I would rather someone be dishonest than being unprepared and dumb.
But I think they are they're naive to the prices of the modern game. Bogaerts, don't you think they were a little bit stunned at his contract that he signed for?
You know how you become naive? When you are disconnected.
Yeah, I could be.
Well, that's what I've been saying all along about this organization, that their priorities have been spread too thin.
Well, that's why they brought Theo back. And that was very encouraging when they brought Theo back.
But it was just window dressing, like everything they've done.
Well, we don't know yet. They have a month.
Ken.
They have a month to be different.
What the Theo announcement was nonsensical.
Okay, but what do you want Theo to do besides...
Who said I'm blaming Theo? It has nothing to do with Theo. Theo is offered a stake in the organization. Why not take it?
But I'm hopeful that Theo actually rolls up his sleeves between now and the trade deadline and actually digs in on some of these pitchers.
There is a better shot that they trade for Shohei than there is that Theo gets engaged at the trade deadline.
And you want to know my pie-in-the-sky hopes? That even though it appears beyond all doubt that Cora is gone, they say to Alex, what if we bring you this at the deadline? Will you stay? We're going to give you a team.
Ken, they don't want him.
I think you're right, but God.
Okay, so
there had to be what happened? Why do they not want him? There had to be something personal, like behind the scenes going on.
You know, when certain, like it happened with Theo and rest of his soul, Larry Lucchino, it happened with Tom and Bill, it happens with Bill and Kraft. When someone works for you and then they become more successful than you,
yeah,
that relationship dynamic is forever changed. Some people are able to outgrow it. Distance helps. But Sam Kennedy rightfully believes that they offered a lifeline to Alex Cora when he was at his nadir. Cora believes he has repaid that many times over in his ability to sit through this S storm of mediocrity as John Henry reallocates his resources and puts them elsewhere. So Sam Kennedy believes that he is owed more loyalty and deference from Alex Cora. Alex Cora believes that that has been repaid and that he is owed some actual high-quality players to make him believe that the organization's going in the right direction.
You know what they believe? They believe they have the next best guy, and that's Jason Varitek.
I heard he's going elsewhere.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, well, that changes it, because that would at least would make some sense, that that was their plan B in-house, and that's just they're going to shuffle him up to the manager spot.
If we did this briefly last week with Andy when you were off rarely, and so I'm not accused of being a Red Sox hater, the most impressive ownership group the last 20 years is the Red Sox. I mean, they've won more ways.
Can you just tell Wiggy this to make him happy? Just calm him down?
No, because Wiggy, whatever. I don't care. Just like Sam Kennedy and John Henry aren't paying players based on what they've done. It's based on what they will do.
Yeah.
The Red Sox over the last 5 years have shifted dramatically.
That's the problem. You could look at it as a five-year swoon. At least, I guess, in 2021, they were in the Final Four of baseball. So at least for 3 years, they have not gotten the job done. So it's at a crossroads, despite the new chief baseball officer. How do you think this is going to play out as a Red Sox fan, and how do you want it to play out over the next month? Are the Red Sox for real? 617-779-7937. Midpoint. Looking at a 43-38 baseball team who can't win openers very often against competition here at Fenway. They are terrible in the first game of a series, but they do have Hauk tonight, and that's good. That's one of your great storylines of the year, plus Jaron Duran. They've got some other ones that are good as well. I want to work the other two teams in to this conversation, if you don't mind, on the way to Curtis, because Bruins traded Linus this week, so they've made some movements. Patriots aren't going to play for a while, but I would just say in
10 Saturdays to college football.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, it's coming. Camp is less than a month away.
I got to tell you, BC, BCS.
Opposite of the Celtics, who are at the nadir.
Right.
Everybody's,
no, the Celtics are at the peak.
At the peak, yeah. I always get that flipped.
Well, at Northeastern, they don't tell you how to spell words.
Always at the peak. Right now at the peak. Every other team, there is a level of at least confusion, if not gruntlement. Disgruntlement. Which of the fan bases do you think has the most to worry about? Bruins, Patriots, Red Sox. Just in terms of
Bruins
the direction.
I mean, what would you worry about the Bruins?
I will tell you.
Ooh, Saturday State.
After Joe B and his trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox opened their series against the Padres last night with a 9-2 loss. San Diego exploded for 9 runs in the 5th inning. 5 of them were earned and charged to Nick Pivetta, who only lasted 4 innings and got the loss. Rafael Devers did hit his 17th home run of the season and his 3rd consecutive over 430 feet. Game 2 of this 3-game set will take place this afternoon. The Hall of Famer Joe Castiglione, Will Fleming, and Lou Maloney have the call from Fenway at 4:10. On the Shaw's of Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network, Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. Tanner Houck will get the start for the Sox opposite Michael King for the Padres. Joe Weil will get everything started with the Mass Mutual pregame show at 3:10. Mass Mutual Insurance Planning Investments. The NHL draft began last night. Boston University's Macklin Celebrini was selected first overall by the San Jose Sharks. The Bruins had the 25th overall pick from the Linus Ullmark trade with the Senators, and they selected Dean Letourneau out of St. Andrews College in Ontario, 25th overall. The 6'7 forward is committed to play at Boston College for next season. Rounds 2 through 7 will continue today, beginning at 11:30. The Bees have a pick in the 4th, 5th, and 6th round. The NBA offseason is ramping up. Yesterday, the Hawks traded All-Star guard DeJounte Murray to the Pelicans for Larry Nance Jr., E.J. Liddell, Dyson Daniels, and 2 first-round picks. The Mavericks traded Tim Hardaway Jr. to the Detroit Pistons for Quentin Grimes, and Emmanuel Quickley is re-signing with the Toronto Raptors for 5 years and $175 million. And the Revolution will look to make it 5 straight matches, when they face the Columbus Crew from Gillette Stadium tonight at 7:30. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
See what happens in a month and a half. We just got to keep playing better baseball. And I know we've been talking about the wild card and all that stuff. You know, hey, let's get greedy. You know, there's a team ahead of us that they're not playing good baseball. You know, and I know probably one of them is only for 5 days, you know, but there's more out there. And I think this brand of baseball, you know, we can maintain the way we're playing. And, you know, let's not set up for the third wild card. You know, let's go higher and see where the season takes us.
Good, memorable soundbite from Alex Cora this week here on Ken and Curtis as we rejoin from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio. Yankees team you referred to there won 16-5 last night, 18 hits. Soto and Judge are legit, but they did have a little scuffle. That clip was manipulated quite nicely by Greg to be a shot at ownership for or a challenge to ownership for the deadline. I personally didn't read it that way. I don't think Cora was taking a shot there, but I'm not so sure he doesn't if they don't do anything. So I guess there's some truth in there. He will be watching and listening. If there's any hope to salvage Cora here long-term, Curtis, don't you think he needs to be impressed by ownership that they're going to put a team around him? He doesn't want to rebuild for the next 3 years.
Yes, but I would also say I think Greg was exactly right. That was a shot at owner. Like, who else would that be a shot at?
I don't think it was a shot at all. I think he was just a challenge to his players mentally to, hey, let's not be satisfied with a wild card. Let's try to keep winning and catch the teams ahead of us in the standings.
I think, okay, but how do you think he views this team as talented enough to do that?
No, I think he believes Baltimore's much better.
So then that's the point.
But he referenced the Yankees, and they did just beat the Yankees in a series.
They went 4-2 against the Phillies and the Yankees.
Yeah.
We both thought that was going to be an absolute disaster area.
Correct.
So, listen, Major League Baseball right now is incredibly top-heavy, and there is a mass in the middle of mediocrity. When you have a guy like Tanner Houck, when you have a solid closer, when you have Devers and you have Duran, who's been, you know, a sensation, you have an opportunity. There's no way that they shouldn't be able to do a couple things between now and the 31st of July to eclipse the Royals.
Yeah, but okay, in a three-game series, who's your starting rotation past Houck?
I would say Tanner Houck and pray for rain.
See, that's what I mean. Like,
but Pavetta, I don't know, Tanner Houck, Pavetta game two. And
Pavetta for three innings.
Baby Pedro, your guy, you haven't brought him up in a couple months.
That's been the most discouraging thing of the season. It started at spring training.
But if you're Bailey, right, you know, the new Ace Bailey, Mr. Pitching, the whisperer of all pitches.
Yeah.
If you have one job, wouldn't it be to get baby Pedro to look more like regular Pedro? If everything else didn't happen,
right,
and baby Pedro ascended to the ace role.
Well, do you give him credit for Hauk or not?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Hauk is amazing. That's a great development. Oh, that's huge for them.
Who do they give a long-term deal to before the season?
Baby okay. Pedro.
So my guess is the guy...
Fetus Pedro is Wiki.
Right.
Him.
Well, I mean, Fetus Pedro. That was... Wiki's got some good ones.
No, but back to spring training. I'm walking in, first day of our trip to spring training. I'm right. there for a week.
Right.
And I always make more of images than I should.
You, but, when you're there, you are the whitest person in Florida.
Well, of course. And so nobody can see me.
Right.
So I'm walking through the bullpen area to get into the facility, and baby Pedro is walking away from Pivetta, who is screaming at him, like yelling at him, like, get back here, you. And it's just an F-bomb after an F-bomb. And I said, oh boy, that's not good. But obviously there's something going on between the ears right now with baby Pedro. You can see on the mound he's a little emotional.
Who died and made Nick Pivetta Nolan Ryan, by the way?
Okay, but I think there's something going on there where there's a disconnect with leadership of the team. Pivetta is a leader.
Don't they all hate Pivetta?
Maybe they do. Maybe that's part of it.
I mean, Canadians aren't usually that brash.
That'll be interesting to see if he's traded. Because do you believe in him? Do you not? I saw a...
What about the Vegemite guy?
Yeah, he's back, Liam.
Oh, good.
That's why they're going to trade Kenley. They're going to put Hendricks in the closer role.
Oh, good. They can have it sponsored.
And Greg's going to love that because Liam will come on every week.
I mean, we love it.
But anyway, it gets back to the point. Don't you see that? Baby Pedro this week.
Liam is an incredibly popular name these days. I don't know who
you
brought it back.
Consider for James?
Well, that's his middle name, William.
Oh.
But anyway, carry on.
So anyway, this week is not good. If you're thinking about being buyers and you see baby Pedro go, what, 2 1/3, not handle adversity well, and then last night Pivetta can't make it through the third trip in the rotation again. Your rotation in a 3-game wildcard series is Hauk, and you're right. Pray for rain.
Why do
so
that,
they're not a contender.
Is that video work? Why our entire lives were pitchers able to go through a lineup 3 times, and all of a sudden they can't?
I wonder if it's like they spin it, they put so much into the new sweeper, the new...
Like when I grew up watching baseball
right,
in the 90s,
right.
It was you better get an ace early.
Yeah.
Right? Like the first right. inning against Pedro, the first inning against Clemens or Johnson or any of those guys.
Yeah.
They were always a little, like, not themselves in the first.
Great question.
But then they would get better. I mean, I go back to that. The best game I've ever seen pitched in my life was Pedro, the one-run home run, Chili Davis, 17 strikeouts at Yankee Stadium. I think that was against Clemens. Trot Nixon hit the home run. That game, Pedro was... From like the third inning on, Yankee Stadium started rooting for the guy because yeah. he was just that unhittable.
Yeah, no, you're so right. And the guy for the Phillies pitched a complete game last night, and it's like it's unheard of in baseball. When a guy goes complete game, you're like,
but
what? Isn't
it, but you agree with that recollection that it
yeah.
used to be oh, early yeah. was the time they got better.
Jump on him early before he got in a groove. We talked to Pedro Martinez out in Springfield,
right.
and he was just like ripping guys who can't go beyond 5 innings. But it is a current problem. And the Red Sox have it, too. Even Hauk, it took him a long time to get that good.
I guess my question is, how much of that is mental, that we're telling people yeah. they can't do it, and then we're looking for flaws? I mean...
Well, you're the mental health guy. Maybe you should talk to these
I will.
Players.
I mean, I'll
want to get baby Pedro here today?
I would...
Have a chat with him? Just be like, well, perk me up? What do they tell you in these therapy sessions you go to? What's the first thing they, like...
Oh, it's all about ignoring the others, doing things that you believe to be right. If you live a life...
Ignore Pivetta?
No, if you live your life based on how others perceive or react to you, you will never be happy. So you need to do what you believe to be the right thing, knowing that it may not always be the right thing, and allow yourself... The amount of time we all spend avoiding something is the same amount of time it would require for you to actually do it right. So you have two options. You can just dedicate your life to doing things the right way, or you can avoid responsibility, don't get things done, and then spend your day full of anxiety. There's a great video of Jeff Bezos talking about stress and anxiety, how everybody talks about stress and anxiety. You know what removes stress and anxiety? Preparation. If you're prepared for a test, you don't lose sleep over it. That's life.
See, and that's great. Why don't you get in the clubhouse and give the speech?
But I look at the Red Sox management right now, and I look at Robert Kraft, and all these teams are obsessed with messaging. The messaging doesn't matter. If you're good, people will come.
Yeah.
If you're bad, they will not. And you know how you can really irritate a fan base? It's not by not spending money, although that will. It's by lying to their face and calling them liars when they tell you what you're doing is wrong.
Yeah, I don't think it was lies. I think they're naive, and they missed out on the trade deadline, which gets to my other question, which I teased. Now, what's your thoughts on this? Joe Braverman, I want your thought on this, too. You're a Boston sports fan, our producer back at the flagship. You're a Celtics fan. You're elated. You're at the start of a great run. And by the way, that foundation was laid by Danny Ainge, right?
Yes.
Some 8 years ago by two unbelievable draft picks back-to-back.
Correct. Well, it's similar to how you could look at Dan Duquette in the 04 Sox with Manny Ramirez, Pedro Martinez, and those kind of guys, and Jason Varitek.
Okay, so Patriots, Red Sox, Bruins, the other three. Which of the three franchises gives you the worst feeling right now for where they're headed? Just
gut, Boston Red Sox.
Gut feeling. See, I disagree. I think they're last on my list. I actually am encouraged by what's happening. I love the big three down in Portland. They have some prospects.
What on the Red Sox is a similar strength as the Patriots' defense is?
Stolen bases.
Okay, in terms of relevance to games, what would be more relevant?
I think speed kills in today's game.
Okay, well, you're killing this argument, but I will say...
Rafi Devers.
The Patriots' defense is elite.
All right, let's not go overboard.
They are an elite defense, absolutely.
Godshaw's squawking this week about needing to get paid.
The Red Sox manager is saying they need to be greedy.
Judon doesn't have a contract.
Yeah, I wouldn't give Judon a contract. I would.
You wouldn't give Judon a contract?
Absolutely not.
What?
Captain disappearing act in the second half.
Like, I guess if you're a Patriots fan, you're waiting to see what happens. They're rebuilding. You're a little bit encouraged by the Drake May pick. You want to be encouraged.
Honestly, if I'm Kraft, I gave Judon $15 million a year, and every offseason he's bitching about why we don't pay people around him. Like, why don't you be happy about the money you got?
I feel most uneasy as a Bruins fan. This week they traded Linus for a first-round pick, which they spent on this kid who he should have gone to Northeastern. Shirked Northeastern for BC. He's going to go to BC this year. For a fourth-line center. And Korpisalo, they got a much worse goaltender. And doesn't it just feel like they've exceeded expectations for 2 years? They went all in a couple years ago at the deadline, to Sweeney's credit. And now they're hanging on the precipice. They're trying to hang on to relevance. It's going to be very tough. Florida is a monster. They're not going anywhere. I don't think they're going anywhere. And I don't see the Bruins being as good in the next couple years as they have been this year and the year before.
Do you think all the snowbirds are heading to Florida because of the Panthers?
Definitely.
They're leaving the Bruins in their wake. I would say the Bruins are a far better team that has been at the top of their league the last 2 years, and getting rid of Linus, improving around Swayman, is a clear direction that I support entirely.
But they didn't improve around Swayman.
They will. I mean, the offseason just started.
Okay, but they're not going to get, like, this whole Dreisaitl talk that Scheim is perpetrating. I mean, they're not going to trade for Leon Dreisaitl.
Okay, Dreisaitl could walk right by me. I wouldn't know him from a hole in the wall.
He's got an Oilers shirt on. You'll know him.
Okay, well, the most famous Edmonton person took her shirt off.
You know her. I've seen your screenshot.
Oh, my God. She's. I got rid of James. I said, just put those boobs.
She was a jinx. She didn't get the job done.
I know. I hated her. But either way, I wonder if Ordway did that, the curse would have ended sooner.
Yeah, that was good.
The Bruins are a much better spot.
I feel worse about the Bruins.
What do you mean by worse?
Like, I feel like the Red Sox are headed in a good direction, generally.
What's the direction?
They're rock bottom.
What's the most important asset they currently have?
Devers.
Okay, outside of Devers.
Duran. Hauk.
Alex Cora.
But they got Varitek. I believe Varitek's the next guy.
What evidence do you have that Varitek can manage a baseball team?
None, but it's a good story. I mean, they must know that he's got some managerial capabilities.
So you just got mad at me for saying the Bruins will spend better around Swayman after the Linus deal, and you said they haven't done it, and now you're saying a guy that's never done it is a reason to believe in the Red Sox going forward.
But the Red Sox have a few prospects, which they haven't in a while.
Tony Pavano? Or Carl Pavano? Tony Armas?
I like the big three in Portland. I feel good about them. I mean,
is Ruzny going to get here soon?
I feel like Wiggy is right. The Red Sox are getting more heat than they deserve.
Okay,
they're on a good track.
Work with
generally.
Me here. Proximity to the people in their own division, Bruins or Red Sox?
Well, right now it's the Bruins, but
okay. What about in 2 years?
That's changing. In 2 years, Red Sox.
Why?
Marcelo Meyer, Roman Anthony, Kyle Teal.
So Garrett Cole in 2 years will be 31. Aaron Judge will be 28, 29. I mean, Volpe.
How old's Judge now?
I don't know. I mean, he's hitting bombs every night.
Judge is 32.
Okay, so he'll be 34.
Right.
I mean, the Yankees and the Red Sox, the Yankees right now are miles away from the Red Sox.
I don't think, Red Sox just took 2-3, as you pointed out, from that series. I'm not that concerned about the Yankees.
So we can't keep doing this. So if we're about actual performance on the field or on the ice, the Bruins
just a projection. It's a couple-year projection.
Right, and based on what they've actually done, the Bruins are far closer.
Currently, but I don't see them going in a good place. They're going to.
So you have the Red Sox, or you have the best option?
They're ascending.
So out of
Bruins are descending.
The three non-Celtic teams.
Yes.
Red Sox are number one.
And Red Sox I feel the best about.
And then two is what?
Two is the Patriots. I am very disappointed at the lack of spending. Although Calvin Ridley, I don't know that he would have been a difference maker, but there's something going on there. But that, you know, at least they did make a coaching change. In the end, they needed to do something because Belichick was putting him in a bad spot. So I'll give Mayo a chance, but I don't feel terrific about it. And they're going to have a bad year. We both agree with that.
Eight wins.
They are not going to have eight wins.
Absolutely.
You're just playing contrarian on that.
Okay, so go through
just it. Pumping up with the defense beyond, you know, reason. They're just, their offense is mud.
Let's just do this. Defensive coordinator, Jerod Mayo and Covington,
yeah.
Or Steven Belichick? Who's better?
Steven Belichick.
Okay. I mean, everybody's talking about the departure of Bill Belichick. Like, I mean, the team was not good. He did a bad job. He's out of the NFL. He's going to Manning passing camps with Matt Patricia right now.
Braverman, who do you feel worse about?
I'm a Curtis. I go Sox.
Bang. You feel worse about the Sox?
Yeah, because they are not showing you that they are investing and are actually making an attempt to go and win. They're just throwing crap at a wall and hoping it sticks.
Well, they were in on Yamamoto. They didn't.
What does that mean, in on?
They have good intentions to at some point.
They gave him one
money.
Phone call. That's how they were right. In on him.
Yeah, well, I mean, you said he didn't want to come.
You tried to replace me with Baba Booey, but you offered him 15 grand. I mean, here's where the Red Sox are. The reason the fan base feels the way they do is because they pay attention. And I have become exasperated with the nonsensical messaging they've attempted to spew. Where Breslow this week is asked by me and others several times, Alex Cora is doing a great job. We all see it. He's the manager of the year from my perspective today. And he can't say anything about it.
But he's told not to say anything about it. I mean, I feel bad for Breslow. There's nothing he can say. They have told him.
Compensated for this job?
Yes, and he's being compensated to spin the messaging
right.
Of ownership. Which
what I just said, you asked what I talk about in therapy? Well, that's wrong. Your job is to make the team better, not make excuses for why it's not, and not to dance around. The Red
okay,
Sox,
you think
the best future of the Red Sox.
You want Breslow to say, we're hiring Veritek next year. That's what you want him to say.
I think I want him to say that we believe the team is in a good position. Cora thinks we need to be greedy. I disagree. Boom. Whatever it is, if you agree and believe that what you're doing is going to work, as I said, if they had handled the Bogarts conclusion in a more direct way.
That's not Breslow's fault.
But Breslow works for people that want him to give messaging. So
yes.
I'm blaming the people
yeah.
that are doing the messaging, not
okay.
Breslow.
Fine.
So when the Red Sox acquired Trevor Story post-pandemic,
yeah.
while your melons were still in the foyer, they were telling you they were not going to sign Xander Bogaerts long-term. Everybody with a brain knew it. And
yeah. Well, they thought they might get him on the cheap.
But you knew that's what they were doing, and we just spent a decade and a half praising Bill Belichick for doing just that, for giving players less leverage for the betterment of the team. So you bring in Trevor Story, obviously a mistake, and right before the season, Xander has that melancholy press conference at Yankee Stadium, and instead of saying, we tried, we have to plan for the future, he's got Scott Boras, we love Xander Bogaerts, but players work hard to earn free agency. We'll see how this goes. It's not that hard. Instead, Sam Kennedy went on day after day saying, I can't envision the Boston Red Sox.
Oh, that was bad.
That's my point.
Bad.
Today, the Red Sox were right. They made the right decision.
Yeah. They
prioritized Rafael Devers over Xander Bogaerts
right.
every day of the week.
Right.
The only thing they butchered is the thing they remain unable to fix, which is the messaging.
Right.
Because nobody cares how you say it.
But you want them to message that, like, you want them to do what you're complaining they did for Bogaerts and to say, to give hope that he's coming back when we know he's not coming back.
No, I want them to either be direct about, like, how many times last year did I ask Brian O'Halloran and Sam Kennedy about the changing philosophy?
Right.
I asked it directly when we were at Winter Weekend.
Right.
They called me a liar.
Well, they deny that.
But So they have changed philosophy.
Can you envision Xander Bogaerts wearing another uniform?
No, I can't.
Like,
all right, fine. That's 2023 missteps.
But that's what I'm talking about, is you feel good because you think the organization is heading in the right direction.
Generally speaking, yes.
You think that paying guys like Sale and Price and Bogaerts all this bloated money is the wrong thing to do.
Right.
There are fans that agree with that. So just say it. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm not mad about anything other than the attempt to spin the fan base. Just like I was mad at how Gerard Mayo said we're going to burn some cash. And then the organization didn't correct it until the season ticket
removed. John Henry, if you listen to him when he does speak, does say it, but nobody wants to hear it and they get mad at it.
Well, I asked Sam Kennedy directly about John Henry, and he said I misportrayed it.
Yeah. We'll hear the Curtis exchange with Breslow coming up. I'd like you to be part of the conversation, 617-779-7937, as we broadcast from our Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio, presented by your New England Ford dealers. Celebrate the great American sales event, join the Bronco family, or get a great offer on America's best-selling trucks, F-Series, official truck of the Red Sox. Ken and Curtis from Fenway. It's WEI. Ken and Curtis from your Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio. Do you think the Celtics win will pacify the fan base? So even if the Patriots and Red Sox spin their wheels another couple years, you got one. You know, the jinx is over. We're only a week removed. It's kind of hard to believe, actually. It's pacified the region a little bit. Everybody's in a good place.
Yeah, I mean, I...
Like at the trade deadline, if they do nothing, will there be massive outrage?
Yeah, I think you have it backwards. I think,
or if they trade guys,
the Patriots winning in 2001 didn't pacify the region. It really spurred the other teams to win more.
Yeah, it's more of a reality check for teams like the Bruins and Red Sox who feel close.
Nah, but you've had this big bonfire going, and you know at the end of the night at the campfire when it's starting, you just need to throw another log on the fire to keep it rolling for a little bit.
I wasn't a big campfire guy.
Oh, really?
No.
That's the best.
We had a camp guy.
Okay. Well, anyway, they just threw another log in the fire. You're good for a while. You've already had the peak of the night. The best part of the night is come and gone.
Well, but
you're just trying to keep it going for as long as you can. Celtics did that.
I don't think the Celtics did anything but have people see the juxtaposition between them and other teams in this town right
okay.
now.
Okay, yeah, maybe. You could be right about that.
And I feel that the Celtics were an organization that had to go through a transition and was dealt a really bad hand with Ime and was able to overcome that by being steadfast in their dedication to their approach, ignoring outside noise. Go back to the Heat up 3-0 in the conference final in Missoula's first year. We talked about Ime constantly.
Yeah.
We were wondering not if, but when Missoula was replaced. I kept saying he's driving a Ferrari as his first car. It doesn't make sense. That only happens in Dover. And
has your respect level for Missoula gone through the roof? I mean,
not through the roof.
He was like the major driver this team.
But issue here is we go from 0 to 100. Like, I was wrong. Absolutely. I didn't think they would win with him. I didn't think that he was going to be able to maintain the wheel.
You called him a bird brain first before Perk did.
The flying backwards Perk, it's a little tired. But he was right. I mean, I was wrong. Absolutely. And that's the best thing about this is that you have results. People are right. People are wrong. I don't think Missoula should be, you know, Greg's talking about him like he's going to be Popovich being paid at the top of the NBA. Like, it's not going to happen.
No, but he is, ESPN was digging in hard toward the end. I mean, they were loving the Missoula story.
Right, but ESPN was also the one who was telling us that Brian Windhorst reported that the whole team had to tell Missoula who to start. The single biggest move the Celtics made was getting rid of Marcus Smart. And that allowed Missoula to coach. It allowed Brown and Tatum to breathe. The acquisition of Derek White and Porzingis and Drew Holiday, it was a brilliant confluence of events. But it was
great offseason by Brad.
But
Brad is a killer.
Brad, Wick, Missoula, Tatum, Brown coalesced and it worked. And I didn't think it would, and they did it. And it wasn't like it barely worked. There is no season in the last 20 plus years that was as dominant as what the Celtics just did. Nobody was close.
I saw Bob Ryan rank all 17 Celtics championships. He had this one second behind 86. I mean, that's like a Celtics guy through it. What do you mean?
There's 18.
Yeah, the 17 others.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so the Celtics, I think, are in their own stratosphere right now. They are unbelievably good. They are young. Their coach is young. Their owner is young. Their GM is young. Their best players are young. The team is in a great spot. The Red Sox are, I think the fan base is still trying to figure it out. You know, the first half of the season was a pleasant surprise. But the day-to-day conversation, the biggest thing I hear when we were at those road shows, or when I'm, you know, at Castle Island when I talk to people, the biggest thing I hear is still this anger at the Red Sox front office. There is a genuine rage towards John Henry. And I as I said last hour or last segment, whatever, I think some of that is a little bit misguided considering the amount of success. But the way that they have decided to change what they're doing while charging the same prices and maintaining the same messaging has really irritated a fan base.
Well, right now, with five games over, they're fine. But if in 3 weeks they announce they've traded Pivetta, Kenley, Chris Martin, Tyler O'Neill, guys that people care about, what's the reaction there? Or do you actually respect them if they pick a lane this year and decide we're not good enough?
So, but let's put it out. So are you saying they're right where they are now in 3 weeks?
Yeah, a couple games out of the wild card.
Okay, yeah. I would really and truly only be mad if they did nothing. That to me is you're either expediting the rebuild or you're expediting your ability to contend this season.
Yeah, I agree. And I think they should probably sell those guys. 617 texter on the Subaru of New England text line. The Sox collapsed the last 2 years. Could not be finer with Cora packing his bags. He's only trying now because he's about to get a bag. He had one good year prior to this as a manager. The Red Sox paid him while he was suspended for cheating. He was the reason they collapsed. I mean, I don't... One thing's for sure. We heard this out in Springfield. They were blaming Cora's defense last year publicly. And that was the public spat. Alex didn't like that very much when he came on with us. And you said to him, well, owners just told us that if you guys improve defensively, you could be 10 wins better, you know.
Right.
He kind of scoffed at that. So there is some truth to...
Oh, my God. The relation... First of all, obviously, the managerial role is usually either over the top in wins or over the top in losses. But what Cora is able to do... We saw Ron Renicki. You know, he has a unique ability to have the presence in that clubhouse, to have the respect of the players. I've talked about it. It's true. The bilingual component is a huge asset.
He brought that up this week. Jones and Mango asked him, what's one thing you've brought to the managerial spot that no other Sox manager has? He's the first thing he said. I can speak two languages.
But what is the number one job of any manager or coach? Communicate.
Right.
He can communicate effectively to basically everybody, you know, outside of Yoshida.
Held Verdugo responsible. He could be a hard nut when he needed to be.
Right. And I think the players also, Courtney was talking about this week on the Greg Hill Show, where the conversation that he had with Justin Turner was made public and how that might rub people the wrong way. I think that is part of what makes players love the guy.
Of course.
That he is direct. He is the conduit in between ownership where he will tell players what he thinks is in their best interest. So it's going to be hard to replace. Obviously, if they fire, or if they don't, it's not fire, if they allow Cora to walk. By the way, that in and of itself is such a symbol. It is so symbolic of where this ownership is that he is even here today because they're too afraid to fire him. They're too afraid to go in the direction. So they're allowing him to play out the string so they can blame him or other forces. If they actually fired him, if they actually traded him, they got John Farrell via trade, it's happened in baseball, then they are viewed as the people that pushed him out. But if he plays out the string and he manages through his contract, they have less blood on their hands from their perspective, which is the absolute wrong way to run an organization.
So you would have traded him before the year began.
It's just like the deadline. He's either here long term or he's gone.
Yeah. And it appears they had no hope of salvaging it. So if you're right, if that's true and you're right about
it. When we were in Springfield, did you think there was a shot he was coming back?
No, they knew.
So then what are we doing?
Right. Yeah, you're kind of right.
I mean, wouldn't you be able to get something for Alex Cora?
I would think so. Can they trade him at the deadline?
I mean, I don't know, but it's just your actions will tell you how you feel. They were right in their actions in Devers versus Bogarts.
Yep.
They will be able to make good decisions. I just don't believe that they are doing this in what is the best interest of the team. They're doing it in the best interest of the fan base reaction.
Meantime, Breslow, the poor guy, is in the middle of it all, right, and forced to be the spokesperson for it. Although maybe this is a sleeping Brad Stevens we got on our hands here. Who knows? We mocked Brad Stevens falling upward to the front office. So what exchange do we have here, Joe? This is Curtis and Breslow going back and forth, or this is from Thursday on the Greg Hill Show, right?
Yeah, this is when Curtis asked Breslow about the direction that he sees the Sox going in.
So you're beholden to the organization, and is the organization more focused on how successful the team is long-term than how they perform this season?
I think it's both. I think.
Well, at the deadline, it can't be both, Craig. At the deadline, it can't be both, right? You either are adding or you're not.
You're adding or you're not, but I think you can be mindful of both the short-term and the long-term, right? Like, I think you look at the last 15 or 20 years or so in this organization, there have been absolute peaks, and there have also been last place finishes. I think what I've been talking about for a number of months now is building consistency and trying to avoid this kind of boom and bust cycle that has plagued the organization for a while. And I think you have to look at both the short term and the long term in order to do that.
Yeah, of course, literally every trade deadline, every team that's making a trade is weighing the short term versus the long term. That's why it exists. Teams that are not near it try and get value that will be ready to add to the team that they currently manage when the team is better. And teams that are in the thick of it, like the Red Sox usually were my entire life, they will add. You have some deals that work out, some deals that don't. But, the most famous one is Nomar for Orlando Cabrera and Doug Mankiewicz. And it's an accurate, honest reading of your roster and using the assets you have to improve where you believe you are most weak.
But if he means by that, we're going to trade for a pitcher with multi-years of term left, that could be good. Maybe they'll make a trade for an ad, but it's a long-term
view. How many words did the Red Sox used to allocate to their plans at the deadline prior to this last five-year run? How many times were they would have laughed at your face if you asked Dave Dombrowski if you were going to buy or sell?
Dombrowski might have just said, we're going for it.
Yeah. But Theo Epstein.
But Teal, Anthony, and Meyer would have been gone by now.
Do you want to go over the Dave Dombrowski guys? That I saw Shaughnessy write about this the other day.
I agree. They regret nothing. I mean.
So then what did he do wrong?
He did nothing wrong.
So then why isn't he here?
I love Dave Dombrowski.
Want to know why he's not here? Because the way that they hired him is not the way that they view their organization today. Yeah. He is great at this.
Well, he spent money that they didn't approve of with Chris Sale, and they fired his ass.
Right, but so we give him crap about Chris Sale, but what about Tanner Houck?
Right, but you would agree Sale was a disastrous.
Okay, but so they have Tanner Houck, who could be a Cy Young winner, right?
Yep.
And who brought him here?
Dave Dombrowski.
So then why isn't Dave Dombrowski here?
Clash with ownership.
Right. Because he wanted to use this organization the way it had always been used since John Henry purchased it.
Yeah.
Which is as a speedboat.
Yep. But he might have traded Houck before this year.
But
now
you're talking about Tanner Houck is here.
Yes.
And he was brought here by Dave Dombrowski.
I think he was. He was the 2017 draft. So Dombrowski was here in 17? Yeah, he was. I think he was.
Yeah. He won it in 18.
Yeah. Well, here we are, and Houck is the only thing left standing with this starting rotation at the moment, but they're hanging in there. Give us your thoughts on the Sox, 617-779-7937. Ken and Curtis from Fenway Park at the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses frames are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Kenny Curtis from your Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. Do you think the Celtics win will pacify the fan base? So even if the Patriots and Red Sox spin their wheels another couple years, you got one. You know, the jinx is over. We're only a week removed. It's kind of hard to believe, actually. It's pacified the region a little bit. Everybody's in a good place.
Yeah, I mean, I...
Like, at the trade deadline, if they do nothing, will there be massive outrage?
Yeah, I think that... I think you have it backwards. I think,
or if they trade guys.
The Patriots winning in 01 didn't pacify the region. It really spurred the other teams to win more.
Yeah, it's more of a reality check for teams like the Bruins and Red Sox who feel close.
Nah, but you've had this big bonfire going, and you know at the end of the night at the campfire when it's starting, you just need to throw another log on the fire to keep it rolling for a little bit.
I wasn't a big campfire guy.
Oh, really?
No.
That's the best.
We had a camp guy.
Okay. Well, anyway, they just threw another log in the fire. You're good for a while. You've already had the peak of the night. The best part of the night is come and gone.
Well, but
you're just trying to keep it going for as long as you can. Celtics did that.
I don't think the Celtics did anything but have people see the juxtaposition between them and other teams in this town right
okay.
now.
Okay, maybe. You could be right about that.
And I feel that the Celtics were an organization that had to go through a transition and was dealt a really bad hand with Ime and was able to overcome that by being steadfast in their dedication to their approach, ignoring outside noise. Go back to the Heat up 3-0 in the conference final in Missoula's first year. We talked about Ime constantly.
Yeah.
We were wondering not if but when Missoula was replaced. I kept saying he's driving a Ferrari as his first car. It doesn't make sense. That only happens in Dover. And
has your respect level for Missoula gone through the roof? I mean,
not through the roof.
He was like the major driver.
Issue here is we go from 0 to 100. Like, I was wrong. Absolutely. I didn't think they would win with him. I didn't think that he was going to be able to maintain the wheel.
You called him a bird brain first before Perk did.
The flying backwards Perk. It's a little tired, but he was right. I mean, I was wrong. Absolutely. And that's the best thing about this is that you have results. People are right. People are wrong. I don't think Missoula should be, you know, Greg's talking about him like he's going to be Popovich being paid at the top of the NBA. Like, it's not going to happen.
No, but he is. ESPN was digging in hard toward the end. I mean, they were loving the Missoula story.
Right, but ESPN was also the one who was telling us that Brian Windhorst reported that the whole team had to tell Missoula who to start. The single biggest move the Celtics made was getting rid of Marcus Smart. And that allowed Missoula to coach. It allowed Brown and Tatum to breathe. The acquisition of Derek White and Porzingis and Drew Holiday. It was a brilliant confluence of events. But it was
great offseason by Brad.
But Brad
is
all,
a killer.
Brad, Wick, Missoula, Tatum, Brown coalesced, and it worked. And I didn't think it would, and they did it. And it wasn't like it barely worked. There is no season in the last 20-plus years that was as dominant as what the Celtics just did. Nobody was close.
I saw Bob Ryan rank all 17 Celtics championships. He had this one second behind 86. I mean, that's like a Celtics guy
18.
Through it. What do you mean?
There's 18.
Yeah, the 17 others.
Right. Yeah, I mean, so the Celtics, I think, are in their own stratosphere right now. They are unbelievably good. They are young. Their coach is young. Their owner is young. Their GM is young. Their best players are young. The team is in a great spot. The Red Sox are, I think the fan base is still trying to figure it out. You know, the first half of the season was a pleasant surprise. But the day-to-day conversation, the biggest thing I hear when we were at those road shows, or when I'm, you know, at Castle Island when I talk to people, the biggest thing I hear is still this anger at the Red Sox front office. There is a genuine rage towards John Henry. And I as I said last hour or last segment, whatever, I think some of that is a little bit misguided considering the amount of success. But the way that they have decided to change what they're doing while charging the same prices and maintaining the same messaging has really irritated a fan base.
Well, right now, with five games over, they're fine. But if in 3 weeks they announce they've traded Pivetta, Kenley, Chris Martin, Tyler O'Neill, guys that people care about, what's the reaction there? Or do you actually respect them if they pick a lane this year and decide we're not good enough?
So, but let's put it out. So are you saying they're right where they are now in 3 weeks?
Yeah, a couple games out of the wild card.
Okay, yeah. I would really and truly only be mad if they did nothing. That to me is you're either expediting the rebuild or you're expediting your ability to contend this season.
Yeah, I agree. And I think they should probably sell those guys. 617 texter on the Subaru of New England text line. The Sox collapsed the last 2 years. Could not be finer with Cora packing his bags. He's only trying now because he's about to get a bag. He had one good year prior to this as a manager. The Red Sox paid him while he was suspended for cheating. He was the reason they collapsed. I mean, I don't... One thing's for sure, we heard this out in Springfield. They were blaming Cora's defense last year publicly. And that was the public spat. Alex didn't like that very much when he came on with us. And you said to him, well, owners just told us that if you guys improve defensively, you could be 10 wins better, you know.
Right.
He kind of scoffed at that. So there is some truth to...
Oh, my God. The relation... First of all, obviously, the managerial role is usually either over the top in wins or over the top in losses. But what Cora is able to do, we saw Ron Renicki. You know, he has a unique ability to have the presence in that clubhouse, to have the respect of the players. I've talked about it. It's true. The bilingual component is a huge asset.
He brought that up this week. Jones and Mego asked him, what's one thing you've brought to the managerial spot that no other Sox manager has? He's the first thing he said, I can speak two languages.
But what is the number one job of any manager or coach? Communicate.
Right.
He can communicate effectively to basically everybody, you know, outside of Yoshida.
Held Verdugo responsible. He could be a hard nut when he needed to be.
Right. And I think the players also, Courtney was talking about this week on the Greg Hill Show, where the conversation that he had with Justin Turner was made public and how that might rub people the wrong way. I think that is part of what makes players love the guy.
Of course.
That he is direct. He is the conduit in between ownership where he will tell players what he thinks is in their best interest. So it's going to be hard to replace. Obviously, if they fire, or if they don't, it's not fire, if they allow Cora to walk. By the way, that in and of itself is such a symbol. It is so symbolic of where this ownership is that he is even here today because they're too afraid to fire him. They're too afraid to go in the direction. So they're allowing him to play out the string so they can blame him or other forces. If they actually fired him, if they actually traded him, they got John Farrell via trade, it's happened in baseball, then they are viewed as the people that pushed him out. But if he plays out the string and he manages through his contract, they have less blood on their hands from their perspective, which is the absolute wrong way to run an organization.
So you would have traded him before the year began.
It's just like the deadline. He's either here long term or he's gone.
Yeah. And it appears they had no hope of salvaging it. So if you're right, if that's true and you're right about
it. When we were in Springfield, did you think there was a shot he was coming back?
No, they knew.
So then what are we doing?
Right. Yeah, you're kind of right.
I mean, wouldn't you be able to get something for Alex Cora?
I would think so. Could they trade him at the deadline?
I mean, I don't know, but it's just your actions will tell you how you feel. They were right in their actions in Devers versus Bogarts.
Yep.
they will be able to make good decisions. I just don't believe that they are doing this in what is the best interest of the team. They're doing it in the best interest of the fan base reaction.
Meantime, Breslow, the poor guy, is in the middle of it all, right, and forced to be the spokesperson for it. Although maybe this is a sleeping Brad Stevens we got on our hands here. Who knows? We mocked Brad Stevens falling upward to the front office. So what exchange do we have here, Joe? This is Curtis and Breslow going back and forth, or this is from Thursday on the Greg Hill Show, right?
Yeah, this is when Curtis asked Breslow about the direction that he sees the Sox going in.
So you're beholden to the organization, and is the organization more focused on how successful the team is long-term than how they performed this season?
I think it's both. I think.
Well, at the deadline, it can't be both, Craig. At the deadline, it can't be both, right? You either are adding or you're not.
You're adding or you're not, but I think you can be mindful of both the short-term and the long-term, right? Like, I think you look at the last 15 or 20 years or so in this organization, there have been absolute peaks, and there have also been last place finishes. I think what I've been talking about for a number of months now is building consistency and trying to avoid this kind of boom and bust cycle that has plagued the organization for a while. And I think you have to look at both the short term and the long term in order to do that.
Yeah, of course, literally every trade deadline, every team that's making a trade is weighing the short term versus the long term. That's why it exists. Teams that are not near it try and get value that will be ready to add to the team that they currently manage when the team is better. And teams that are in the thick of it, like the Red Sox usually were my entire life, they will add. You have some deals that work out, some deals that don't, but the most famous one is Nomar for Orlando Cabrera and Doug Mankiewicz. And it's an accurate, honest reading of your roster and using the assets you have to improve where you believe you are most weak.
But if he means by that, we're going to trade for a pitcher with multi-years of term left, that could be good. Maybe they'll make a trade for an ad, but it's a long-term view.
How many words did the Red Sox used to allocate to their plans at the deadline prior to this last five-year run? How many times were they would have laughed at your face if you asked Dave Dombrowski if you were going to buy or sell?
Dombrowski might have just said, we're going for it.
Yeah. But Theo Epstein.
But Teal, Anthony, and Meyer would have been gone by now.
Do you want to go over the Dave Dombrowski guys? That I saw Shaughnessy write about this the other day.
I agree. They regret nothing.
So then what did he do wrong?
He did nothing wrong.
So then why isn't he here?
I love Dave Dombrowski.
Want to know why he's not here? Because the way that they hired him is not the way that they view their organization today. Yeah. He is great at this.
Well, he spent money that they didn't approve of with Chris Sale, and they fired his ass.
Right, but so we give him crap about Chris Sale, but what about Tanner Houck?
Right, but you would agree Sale was a disastrous
thing. Okay, but so they have Tanner Houck, who could be a Cy Young winner, right?
Yep.
And who brought him here?
Dave Dombrowski.
So then why isn't Dave Dombrowski here?
Clash with ownership.
Right. Because he wanted to use this organization the way it had always been used since John Henry purchased it.
Yeah.
Which is as a speedboat.
Yep. But he might have traded Houck before this year.
But
by now.
You're talking about Tanner Houck is here.
Yes.
And he was brought here by Dave Dombrowski.
I think he was. He was the 2017 draft. So Dombrowski was here in 2017? Yeah, he was. I think he was.
Yeah. He won it in 2018.
Yeah. Well, here we are, and Houck is the only thing left standing with this starting rotation at the moment, but they're hanging in there. Give us your thoughts on the Sox, 617-779-7937. Ken and Curtis from Fenway Park at the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse left pick number one.
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.